Hello, you're listening to URY. Me and Ellen are here with Nell Mesco.
Hey!
How's it going, firstly?
Tour is so fun. I'm having a great time. It's been a sleepy day because I think it's like storming outside and we haven't even braved the outside. Like, we just heard it was raining and we've just been camped out here all day. So,
yeah, I had to drive here and I almost crashed because the rain. My little Fiat 500, it's fine.
I was going to ask you about you've just opened for Haim.
Yes.
As an opener all across the UK, I was going to ask you what it's like playing such a massive arena. Is it a bit overwhelming or did you really enjoy it, actually?
I actually really enjoyed it. Because it was a shock, every day felt literally like the best day of my life. Like, me and Alex, who's my drummer, we just met earlier this year. I think our first show together was Reading and Leeds, like, that weekend. And so I'm still getting to know her. And we truly just, like, queened out, like, that whole tour. Because we were just like, I can't believe this is happening. So it made the shows, like, so fun. Because we were just having the time of our lives and just so excited to be there. But, yeah, it, like, in comparison to, like, the shows that we're doing, say, on this tour, they're both just as exciting to me because, like, in these shows, people know the words and it's so nice and that's really comforting and lovely. But both are, like, equally as exciting, I would say.
And you wrote Homesick in LA and recorded this EP in New York. Yeah. Does where you record an album make a difference? And how is that important in your music?
I think it does, but I don't think any place that I've recorded is better than another place, if that makes sense. I would maybe actually already take that back before it's even fully left my mouth, that I don't love being in LA, so maybe the things that I make there don't feel as inspired as maybe I would like them to be. But I love writing in Nashville, I love writing in New York, I love recording in New York, I love writing and recording in London or Ireland or wherever it is. But I definitely think, like, the EP, the closest we'll get, was very just, like, completely inspired when I was over there, and which is really nice. And also I worked with a load of musicians from all over the place there, which made it sound completely different. I think if we had recorded that all together in London, it probably would have sounded differently, but just as exciting anywhere we go.
I think this EP has some really incredible bridges. I love a bridge. I literally love them. And Carried Away. I was thinking about, like, in the writing process, when do you write the bridge and what goes into making a really great bridge?
I usually write the bridge after we've written the chorus, oftentimes before a second verse, because the second verse is always really daunting. And then I'm like, already like, I just want the song to be done. So, like, I start zooming ahead. But yeah, I'm obsessed with the bridge. Like, it's my favorite part of the song. Like, I'm often, like, reminded you don't need a bridge in every song because all my songs get really long. But I'm like, but they're so fun. And it's just another place for you to go in a song. And it's so exciting. And also then I think about the live show and how exciting it is to be able to, like, sing a big bridge. So yeah, it's probably my favorite part of a song usually. But it's funny because the Carried Away demo initially when we wrote it was, like, such a pop song. It was so different to what it's turned into now, and both so beautiful. I love both versions, but, like, it's so crazy because I could never have imagined the songs for this EP sounding the way they do in comparison to the, like, initial demo, because the initial demos were just, like, so crazy and, like, very, very, very pop. So yeah, it's been nice to, like, still have the, like, impact of, like, what I think is a pop bridge in something that's maybe a bit folkier and a bit maybe more indie.
When you write a collection of songs, how do you choose which songs make the EP and what makes a title track stand out to you where you're like, that's the one that I'm going to pick?
I think, like, especially for this one, I think for both EPs that I've done, it's, like, been about telling a story. So usually once I've got, like, even Carried Away and See You Again, I was playing with where they would sit on the track listing for so much of it, but, like, Middleman I knew would open it because it just in my head was just, like, the perfect opener for this story. And then Sweet Relief wasn't supposed to be on the EP, and then, like, a week before I left, I was toying with all these other songs that you'll probably never hear, and everyone was so excited about them. And then literally last minute I was like, oh, but none of those make sense in the same way that Sweet Relief makes sense. And so I had to finish writing it, and so I finished writing it, like, a week before I went out, and that's kind of how I knew that was going to be. It just is a complete feeling that you get, I think. And then with The Closest We'll Get being the title track, that song, I think, just, like, when I wrote it, became, like, a fan favorite amongst, like, my friends and family. And, like, we kind of, I think the people who knew what I was writing about felt very attached to that song, because I think it was one of the most honest songs I'd written about the situation to date. And so everyone was like, ooh, because they knew me and they knew how hard the situation was for me. And so that's why it became quite, like, a that one was for me, really. And so then, but, and also it's just like the perfect name for the EP. Like, I just, as soon as I read it, I was like, this is just the name. So yeah.
I watched a performance on The Late Late Show. That's the second time you've been on it, isn't it? Yes. What was that like? And also, does it get a bit weird, like, watching yourself on TV? Is it still surreal, or do you kind of get used to that?
I try not to think too hard about it, because, like, it's so funny. You'll start, like, you walk out, and the interview's still being done. So everyone, like, to the right is, like, still on the couch. And then you're, so you're kind of stood in front of the audience for like at least 30 seconds before you even sing, which is like kind of hilarious. But also, like, in the same vein, like some of the Haim shows, we would be still sound checking as the doors were opening, because it would be so like last minute, really. And so it's almost like a really lovely thing to be able to like have the awkwardness with the people that are watching you before you even sing, because all of a sudden the nerves are a little bit less. But it's still quite weird, and like, you're just like, we had a thing where the sound on the actual live TV when it went out was a little bit off. So at the very end we had to re-record our thing for YouTube, which is crazy because we had just done, but we sung it the exact same both times, but the sound just was wrong. But that's just live TV, and so it went out with the top of it like a little bit messed up, which is like disappointing, but also it's only 5 seconds, so you just kind of go, that's show business, y'all. And we got to sing it again, which is like so funny, but the audience were like, why is she back out, like, why is she back out here? My parents were like, what happened? And I was like, no, it's fine, everything's fine, they just need it for socials. But yeah, it's always a mad experience. But the first time I did it, I was literally, I look back at the videos and I was literally a baby. Like, I can't even think about that.
And you talked about how The Closest You'll Get is a very personal song to you. I just wondered how you feel emotions impact your songwriting, and does it help you process them? And how does it feel to sing back songs that maybe remind you of a past time? And is it hard to sing songs that remind you of like a harder time or something that you've struggled with?
I think I'll never know what's going to affect me until I'm singing it. So like, I'll write it and I'll be really affected at the time of writing it, and I'll be really, most of my songs come from a harder place. I wish I could write maybe happier songs, but I just find it really difficult to like sit and wallow in like a happy emotion. Hey girl, Cece Coakley on the radio show. Say hi. I'm just doing this, I'll be quick. What was I saying? So yeah, I don't know what's going to affect me afterwards, because you like, there's so much time between writing it and actually playing it live. But it's funny because Thin, there wasn't really that much time before, like from writing it to playing it live, and that one for the first few shows was really difficult to sing, because you just have people that are like reacting in a really, really strong way, which I'd never had before. And even like last night I started crying after the song, because there's just these sweet people up the front sobbing, and it's just so tragic. Like, it's just so hard. But also it's funny because like, when I wrote In My Head, I didn't feel too emotionally connected to it. And then like 2 years later, I was playing Board Masters and I was like, literally, wait, who wrote this song? And why am I was like, I'm relating way too hard, and I was getting so emotional. And it's, that's so lovely. Like, that's a lovely thing about music, of like, you'll hear a song that maybe either you wrote or someone else wrote from years ago that you're attached to, and then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, it's hitting me again. And that's like just growing up with music. And yeah, it's really nice. But it's also, yeah, I get a shock sometimes if I'm like on stage and singing a song and all of a sudden I feel like, ooh. But that's fun, and that's live, and it's sick.
I love when I like, I have a song and then you sit there and you listen and you like hear it for the first time again and you're like, oh, like, wait, okay, she's actually saying this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, I love. I love the music video for The Closest We'll Get. I think it's so pretty. I think it reminds me of strawberries. That's what I wrote in my notes here. I just think it's so like Augusty and like the red. Oh, it's so pretty. How do you approach coming up with the visuals for like both the music video and like the album, like the Spotify backgrounds? How do you think about like encapsulate the vibe of a song, but in visuals? Like, what's the process like that?
Well, I worked with a creative team with my label, and I kind of, that's probably the thing that comes last to me. Like, I'm very much just about like trying to write the story and trying to like, kind of what you're talking about, process like the actual song as it's happening and like get that down. And so then afterwards I'm like, shit, like I have to make this like look good. I have to make this like, and so I worked with people that just like, I think I briefed them so hard on who I am and what I wanted other people to see me as. And so I would like do Pinterest boards on Pinterest boards of like anything that felt inspiring or anything that felt like me. And I worked with people that like really knew me, which really helped. And then yeah, and then loads of ideas get pitched, and then you kind of work on one that you like the most and kind of pile on that one. And in Carried Away, it was just like, basically, we did like a 2-day shoot where we did Carried Away and Middleman and then all the visualizers for like all the songs. Mm-hmm. And what I liked about doing visualizers for all the songs is they're all like really similar videos, like mm-hmm. the Sweet Relief one and See You Again and stuff. But they're all just like set in a different part of the same house or like a different, mm-hmm. do you know what I mean? Which yeah. was really, really nice. And I think doing the 2 days instead of like one video shoot like a week before or whatever just like made everything really cohesive, which is really nice. And the deer showed up for the Carried Away shoot, so that was iconic.
Perfect.
We always ask the same question at the end of our YY interviews, which is, which artist other than yourself should we keep our eyes and ears on? Who should we be looking at for next, and who should we go and interview maybe?
Oh my god. Okay, I've got two people. And not just because she's on tour with me, but Cece Coakley, so good. And when I met her, I hadn't heard her music before. And now she's on tour with me because I'm literally just so obsessed. And I will also shout out Pixie McCann because I think she's so great. And she just supported me last night and she's going to be at the Manchester show as well. But she was coming up on my TikTok so much and I was just like, she's so great. So both of those awesome. Are slay.
Right. Thank you so much.